Who knows, at the end of this week's parsha, Avraham Avinu is taught about and commanded the mitzvah of Milah, Bris Milah. One of the themes of Chassidus that we've had a chance to speak about many times is that even though the 613 mitzvahs and much of the Torah seem to be under the confines of time and space and souls, that they're primarily, majority of them are time-bound, place-bound, and bound to certain people. But even so, Chassidus tries to show that since the Torah is all one with Hashem, and the whole Torah is essentially what Hashem gave us to connect to Him, that means that in a deep way, b'pnimius, in the inner soul of the Torah, every single aspect of Torah relates to everyone, always. Even though in the chitzonius, in the body of Torah, so to speak, there are differences of time and space, and certain people are chayiv, some people are potter, some are exempt, some are obligated. But when we speak about b'pnimius and an inner and a deeper level, every aspect of Torah relates to everyone, always. And especially when you speak about a mitzvah of Bris Milah. Bris Milah is a mitzvah that is intrinsic to what a Jew is. First of all, it literally applies to everyone. The Gemara says that women, that l'chayra, you don't have a bigger b'chitzonius inability to do the mitzvah, the Gemara says, Noshim kemahalim dami. Women are as if they had their circumcised. Women, by their nature, it's not pshat that they don't have the opportunity to be circumcised. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say that they're potter. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Noshim kemahalim dami. It's considered as if they are circumcised. More than that, the Mishnah says in the Nedarim that if, let's say, a person makes a neder, he makes a neder, he makes an oath that he'll never have enjoyment, never get pleasure from a person who has a foreskin, an oral. So the Mishnah says, what happens if you have a Jew that didn't do a bris milah? The halacha is that that's not considered. He's not considered an oral. Even though he actually never was circumcised, he's not considered that he has a foreskin. Because the word oral means a non-Jew. And the opposite. Let's say you have a Gentile that was circumcised. He's still considered an oral. He's still considered he has a foreskin because the mitzvah, the chitzayim, it's possible that a goy to do and women can't do, but the inyan of milah is intrinsic to what a Jew is. And the biggest proof, of course, you all know, that Hashem made the covenant with Avraham Avinu. The covenant of Bris Milah represents the covenant of Hashem with us as a people. It was the covenant with which Hashem promised to give us the land of Israel. And can do that Eretz Yisrael is the physical manifestation of the relationship of a Jew with Hashem. So Bris Milah is a mitzvah that pertains to the very essence of what it means to be a Jew. So therefore, obviously, we understand that it must mean that the mitzvah of Bris Milah is something that pertains to us always and that we could always do. Of course, Al Pi Nigla, everyone knows the famous Beis Halevi, the Rebbe brings about Nasicha, that Al Pi Nigla, Bris Milah is a mitzvah nimsheches. It's every moment that a person has a Bris Milah, it's a mitzvah. But when we speak about b'pnimius in the inner dimension, so it's not just the fact that the physical act of circumcision remains in the body and always continues, but rather the avoda pnimius, the inner dimension of Milah, which pertains to women also, that's something that has to be something that's a part of our daily lives. Now you know that the beginning of next week's parsha, the very first line of next week's parsha, is a direct continuation of the end of this week's parsha. The very beginning of next week's parsha begins, Vayera Elav Havaya. God appeared to Abraham. God appeared to him. And Rashi says, why did God appear to him? Rashi says, to visit the sick. It was 3 days after Abraham had circumcised himself. So God appeared to Abraham to visit the sick. So the story is, the story that's told, and it's a story that's printed both in Sinha Yom Yom, the Rebbe brings the story, and the Rebbe would speak about the story mamish every year, especially because next week's Parsha Vayera is always around Chof Cheshvan, the 20th of Cheshvan, which is the birthday of the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Lubavitch. And the story is, the Rebbe says, and the Rebbe would say it all the time, that when the Rebbe Rashab was a little boy, 4 or 5 years old. When he was already 6 years old, his grandfather, Tzemach Tzedek, passed away. So when he was 4 or 5 years old, he went into his grandfather, who was the Rebbe at the time, the Tzemach Tzedek, on his birthday. Chav Cheshvan was his birthday. On his birthday, he went into his grandfather, Tichidus, to get a blessing. And the little boy, 4 or 5 year old boy, started crying. Tzemach Tzedek sees that the little boy is crying. So Tzemach Tzedek said to his grandson, Vos Veinster, what are you crying? So the Rebbe Shab says, I'll tell you. We just learned in Cheder, Parshas Vayera. Vayera Elof Hashem, that God appeared to Avram. And the Rebbe Shab started crying, how come God reveals himself to Avram and not to me? Little 4 or 5 year old kid was crying, how come I learned the Cheder, God, Vayera Elof Hashem, God appeared to Avram, God revealed himself to Avram. How come God revealed himself to Avram and he doesn't reveal himself to me? So the Tzemach Tzedek responded as follows. The Tzemach Tzedek said to him, V'nayid a tzadik of 99 yor. When a Jew, a tzadik who's 99 years old, decides that he has to circumcise himself, to him, past, it's worthy that Hashem should reveal himself. When a Jew, a tzaddik, 99 years old, decides that he agrees that he's going to circumcise himself, to such a Jew is worthy that God should reveal himself. And we understand from the story that the Rebbe Rashab was appeased. Now obviously we could spend much time in the story. The Rebbe every year gave another explanation. But quickly let's discuss first of all one thing. And that is, the Rebbe pointed out, we see what it means to educate a Jewish child. It means that we have to know that even a 4 or 5 year old child is able to cry and that he wants that God should reveal himself to him. And by the way, which 4 or 5 year old children are we speaking about? We're speaking about us. And the previous Rebbe used to say, Yiddish yaren rechen sich nit auf ein Passport. Jewish years are not measured what it says on your passport. You don't measure your age by what it says on your passport or your birth certificate. That's not how you decide how old you are. How old you really are is where you're holding in Avodas Hashem, where you're holding in your service of God, how much you're developed in your service of God and your learning of Torah. That's how old you are. I gave this shiur to women the other day. They were very happy to hear that. But for most of us, we have to know that that means that most of us are 4 or 5 year old children. So the first thing we know from the story is that means that even if we are talking, not just that we look at ourselves, but really in our progress in learning Torah and serving Hashem, we're 4 or 5 year old children, we still are able to cry and demand that Hashem should reveal himself to us. That's the first thing. What I'd like to focus on a little is the Tzemach Tzedek response. Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe Shalom's grandfather's response. Because here it seems to be very strange. Here you have a little boy that's crying that he wants God to reveal himself to him, and the Tzemach Tzedek seems to respond to him, if you're 99 years old, and you circumcise, oh, to that such a person, 19-year-old that circumcises himself, that's who it's worthwhile to reveal. It's almost as if the Tzemach Tzedek is saying to his grandson, it's not going to happen to you. But from the story, it also seems that the Rebbe Rashab, a Rebbe who was 4 or 5 years old at the time, was appeased. Now seemingly, if the Tzemach Tzedek is telling him that you have to be 99 years old, and to the extent that a 99-year-old circumcises himself, so even more he should be crying. Seemingly it's something that he'll never be able to attain. So we see from here that obviously the Tzemach Tzedek is not coming to say that in actuality that you have to specifically be 99 years old and circumcise yourself. That's not what he's saying. He's saying a much deeper idea. He's saying like this. What's the reason that he brought the Avraham Avinu was 99 years old? Who cares if it's 96? It's not old. So I just explain like this. You know, it says in Pirkei Avos, you remember that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that seems to be making fun of senior citizens. Remember that Mishnah? It says, Ben Chamish the Mikra, Ben Eser the Mishnah, 5-year-old for Mikra, 10-year-old for Mishnah, 13 for Gemara, 18 for marriage, 30, 40, 50, 60, and then when we get to 100, what does the Mishnah say? If you reach 100, Kilu meis v'avar abotam in oilam, as if he's dead and he left the world. So the Rebbe asks, what kind of thing is that to say? I mean, the people reach the age of 100. So what's the Mishnah telling you? You should know that as if you're dead already. What does that mean? So Chassidus explains, no. Meya means, like we just said, Jewish years are not measured by the birth certificate. Meya, 100, means that you've reached perfection. You've reached 100 means you've reached even higher than Moses, who was in the 49th level of wisdom. You've reached everything that a human being could possibly reach. That's 100. 100 is shleimus, complete perfection. And therefore, ki'ilu meis, as if you died, means as if you already left. You're no longer bound by the confines of physicality. You're no longer bound by the confines of finitude. Avru batal min ha'olam, you're bittal, you're completely nullified outside of the world. That's 100. Complete connection with God. You could still be alive. That's 100. Avram Avinu was 99. Avram Avinu was 99. It means he was this far away. And Avram Avinu, says the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, Avram Avinu came to the realization that even though he's 99, he has to circumcise himself. He has to first start serving Hashem. To such a person is worthy that God should reveal himself to it. That's what the Tzemach Tzedek was saying. If you're 99, you're all the way here, and yet you have a very deep, profound realization that you still have to circumcise yourself. Medaf erst unhaben. You have to first start serving Hashem. Like John Paul Jones says, you have not yet begun to fight. You have not yet begun to connect to Hashem. You feel that you first have to really start. It means you come to this deep feeling of, now I have to circumcise myself from the beginning. Nachman Breslov brings one of the famous teachings in the Kutei Maran. He says over and over that a Jew has to always feel, I'm starting now. I'm starting from the beginning. I'm a baby. I'm starting now. And now I'm circumcising myself. I think I mentioned to you last year, Rabbeinu Yoina, right, Rishon, writes that the foundation of repentance, Yisoid HaTshuva, is the ability to feel as if you were just born today. Those of you in JSP, we spoke about yesterday, it's one of the other things that they stole from us, right? That the Gemara said that tshuva is if you were born again, you were just born today. And Rabbeinu Yoina says that one of the foundations of tshuva is the ability that a Jew has to feel that I was born today. Just today, I was just born now. I'm starting now. I'm now circumcising myself. Because most of the time we're afraid, we feel like, you know, we have such baggage with us. All these things that I did in the past. And so I have this problem serving Hashem. I was thinking I'm going to try to take Judaism seriously because I know all the stuff that I did. So you have to now circumcise yourself. Begin now. So that's what the Rebbe says, the Hayro, we learn it from the Tzemach Tzedek, is that we have to know that even if there's anyone stupid enough to feel that you're 99 years old, I don't think there's anyone here in that category that really feels that you mamish. Maybe there are some people that feel that they're perfect. I don't know, but I'm assuming that everyone's at least, no one really thinks they're beyond Avram Avinu. So it means even if you feel that you're 99 years old, so we learn from here that we're going to have to understand what does it mean that we have to circumcise ourselves. We have to pasha do a bris mil, the avoid the pnimis of a bris mil. So like this. You all know that the last month and a half of the last month, a little more than a month of Moses' life, he forbrenged with the Jewish people a very long forbrenging. What's the name of that long forbrenging? Sefer Dvarim. Right? The book of Deuteronomy is essentially one long forbrenging that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people. And especially the last chapters of Deuteronomy, the last chapters of Dvarim, is, according to many commentaries, what he said the day that he passed away, his farewell address to the Jewish people. Among the many things in that farewell address, in chapter 30 of Dvarim, in Parshas Nitzavim, Moshe Rabbeinu, as part of the farewell address, the final forbrenging that he gave to us, so Moshe Rabbeinu explains to us, the Jewish people, not to be intimidated and to think that it's very hard to serve Hashem. He says as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki a mitzvah azeis ha-shanoichim etzav chayoyim. This mitzvah, according to Rashi, means all of Torah mitzvahs that I'm giving you over today, that I'm commanding you today, says Moshe Rabbeinu, loy nifleisi mimcha v'loy rechoykehi. It's not far from you. It doesn't transcend you. Loy b'shamayim hi. Leymar mi yale lanu ha-shamayim v'ikachay alonu. It's not in the heavens, the Torah. It's not all the way up there in the heavens. Leba shamayim, that someone would should need to say, "Mi yale lanu ha-shamayim v'ikachay lanu." Who will go up to the heavens and bring us down that word of God? And Moses continues, "V'lei me'ever le'yami," and it's not the ocean that someone's going to say, "How am I going to get to it?" Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu says in the famous verse, which the whole book of Tanya is based on, rather, it is very near to you today. Not easy. Moshe Rabbeinu never says it's easy. He says it's near. It's accessible in your mouth and in your heart to do. So in these verses, Moshe Rabbeinu is essentially telling us, don't be intimidated. It's within everyone's grasp to serve Hashem, to do Torah mitzvahs. It's within the grasp of your humanity. It's not above in the heavens. It's not across the sea. It's close to you. Within your conscious self, within who you are, you could keep Torah mitzvahs. But the Alter Rebbe points out in the famous Maimer in this week's Parsha that hinted in the words of Moshe Rabbeinu is the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is hinting that there is an exception. In those very words, listen carefully, that Moshe Rabbeinu is negating the aloofness of Torah, is hinted one particular mitzvah. Listen again to the words. Moses says, "Loi b'shamayim hi." It's not in the heavens. Leimor mi yale lanu ha-shamayim, that you should need to say, "Who will go up for us to the heavens?" It's not over there. Rather, it's close to you. Says the Alter Rebbe, those words, mi, yale, lanu, hashamayma, who will go up to the heavens, is Rosh Tevis. The acronym of the beginning of the first letter of those four words is Mila. Mi, yale, lanu, hashamayma, Rosh Tevis is Mila. In those very words, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that it's not in the heavens that you should have to worry. Oh, who's going to go up to those highest heights? Mila is mi yale lanu ha-shamayim. Bris Mila is something that completely transcends and is aloof. To the extent, says the Alter Rebbe, that look at those words, mi yale lanu ha-shamayim. The first letters spell Mila, the Rosh Tevis. What do the last letters of those four words, the Sefer Tevis, spell? Mi yale lanu ha-shamayim. Yud ke vav ke. That means, says the Alter Rebbe, that Yud ke vav ke is the end of those words, is below. Because Torah mitzvahs, we know, pertain to the four-letter name of Hashem. Torah's Havaya, mitzvahs Havaya. Torah mitzvahs is the name Havaya. Anoichi Havaya likecha, God said when He gave the Ten Commandments. Torah mitzvahs pertain to the Shem Havaya. Mila is above Shem Havaya. Mila transcends Shem Havai. Which is why we're not going to get into tonight, but we've spoken about it in the past. I think 3 years ago we mentioned that that's why King David was comforted when he went into the bathroom and he became sad. He said, "Oh, I'm void of any mitzvahs. Can't do any mitzvahs. You're not allowed to think Torah." What was he comforted by all of a sudden? What did he remember? He has mitzvahs Mila. Because Shem Havai is that realm of holiness that can't get into darkness, into the bathroom. Mila is the very essence of Hashem, before which there's no differentiation between the Holy of Holies and a bathroom. So that means that mi yale lanu ha-shamayma, the first letters are Mila, the last letters are Yudke Vavke. So we see that Mila transcends our humanity. Those very words, who will go up to our heavens, that's Mila. It is something that's in the heavens. More than that, the Rebbe Marash says a beautiful idea. The Rebbe Marash in a Maimer, Tafresh Chavov, says a fascinating thing. In Chassidus, in Chassidic terminology, based on the word Shamayim and Oretz represents permeating lights and encompassing lights. Shamayim v'Oretz, heaven and earth. Earth represents the lights that permeate you. Shamayim, the heavens, represent those lights that encompass, that transcend you. Now, we find both Yeshaya HaNovi, the prophet Isaiah, and Moses addressing the heavens. But they use two different words. Yeshaya says, in the book of Yeshaya it's written, Shimu Shamayim V'tishma Oretz. Hear, he says to the heavens, listen, Shimu Shamayim. Listen, Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the second to last parsha in the Torah, how does it begin? What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Beginning of Hazinu. Hazinu what? Ha Shamayim. With a hey at the beginning. Isaiah says, Shimu Shamayim. Moshe says, Hazinu, listen, Ha Shamayim. With a hey, the heavens. So the Rebbe Marash brings from Kabbalah that in the name Yudke Vavke, there are two sets of male and female parts, which represent also heaven and earth. The lower letters Vav He, so the lower He is Aretz, is the earth. The Vav, which is the male, and the lower He is the Malchus, is the Shechina, the female. And then the Vav is a male part, which, so the Vav is the Shamayim of the He. The Vav, which is Zer Anpin, which are the six emotional Midas, are the Shamayim, are the encompassing lights of the hay. That's what Isaiah was addressing. He was only able to get up to the Vav. Shimu Shamayim. Moses, on the other hand, then you have the higher letters of the name Yudke Vavke, the Yud and the Hay, which represent Chochma and Bina. Chochma is the male, transcends, encompasses the Bina, the Hay, the first Hay. That's who Moses was addressing when he said, Hazinu HaShamayim, the heaven, the higher Shamayim. That's the Yud. Then says the Rebbe Marash, let's go further. In Parshas Akiv, the third Parsha in Deuteronomy, Moses says as follows, Hein LaHashem Alikecha HaShamayim Ushmei HaShamayim. Behold, for God, the Hashem your God, is the heavens and the heavens' heavens. HaShamayim Ushmei HaShamayim. So says the Rebbe Marash, what's Shmei HaShamayim? The heavens of HaShamayim, that's Kesef. That's Kesef. That encompasses the Yud. That's the heavens of HaShamayim. That's Shmei HaShamayim. Says the Rebbe Marash, then we come to Mila. Mila, what does it say? Mi yalelanu hashamayma, says the Rebbe Marash, transcends even Shmei HaShamayim. Mila reaches hashamayma with the hey at the beginning, a hey at the end. It's very labedic. I'm not going to go into the details, but he says that means that's the ultimate makif, the makif be'etzem, the ultimate essentially transcendent meaning atzmus or himself. The infinite essence of Hashem that transcends even Kes. And that's why you all know the Rambam brings what also it says in the Gemara Nedarim, that when God gave us the Torah, the whole Torah, how many covenants did He make with the Jewish people on keeping the whole Torah? Three. By Sinai. Then if you remember at the end of Parshas Kisavei, after the Toichacha, it says, it says over there, the very end, verse 69, it says, Eile divri abris milvada bris hashitam b'chayrev. This is the covenant God made with the Jewish people on the plains of Moab, besides the covenant He made at Chorev at Sinai. And then right after that, Atem nitzavim ayoyim kulchem afnei shalakei Hashem, lakeichem la'ovrcha bebris. The day of Moses' death, He made another covenant. Three covenants that will keep the Torah. Says the Gemara Nedarim, you know how many covenants God made with Abraham that we keep Mila? 13. If you count how many times it says the word bris, covenant, at the end of this week's parasha, 13. That means that if the Torah, which is pretty important, is only three covenants, bris milah is 13 covenants, because it transcends all of the rest of the Torah. Which is why you know also Mechal Shabbos to do bris milah. Right, we go with Mechal Shabbos. It's, and according to many Achreinim, the Rebbe brings in a Sicha, it's actually an Inyan of Chil Shabbos, Dchui, Hutra, but it's a Chil Shabbos. We go against Shabbos for Mila. Mila is higher than even Shabbos. So that is very intimidating. then forget it. So okay, good thing it was done when I was 8 years old, or whatever, my parents did, I'm finished. But if we say no, then Mila is something that you have to always be doing, so that's very intimidating. Mi yalanu ha-shamayma. Who will go up to ha-shamayma? So Chayr asked the Rebbe Marash, so where does that leave us when it comes to Mila? So Chayr, we're mamash not shaykh to it. L'chayr, it's mamash not shaykh to our humanity. It's mamash not shaykh to what we're able to do in our koiches. So Rebbe Marash and the Maimus has a beautiful idea. The Rebbe Marash says that our biggest problem in life, especially in our religious life, but really pertains to everything that we ever do, mundane things also, our biggest problem is that we tend to weigh and look at acts that we do in our life. We ascribe to them the amount of importance based on how they look to us. We look at things in our lives, acts that we do, thoughts that we have, things that we say, we give them very little weight. We don't ascribe them a lot of importance because we look at them, we think they're as important as they seem that they are to us. So the Rebbe Marash brings a line from Chazal. A teaching from Chazal, from the Medrash. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. A teaching of Chazal from the Medrash. I don't know, it's not one of those very, I don't know why it's not one of those popular sentences from Chazal. As far as I know, Mordechai Ben David, Avraham Fried never made a song out of it. Or even, you know, the contemporary modern day Chevra, I've never heard a song made out of it, which is probably why many people don't know it. But it really happens to be one of the most beautiful lines from Chazal. It's one of those that really, it's kedai to, you know, make pictures about it and stuff. Paintings in Tzvat. I mean, even in Tzvat, I don't think they made paintings of it yet. Chazal say a beautiful line. Chazal say like this. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God says to a Jew, Pischu li Pesach kechuda shel machat v'ani eftach lachem Pesach kepischei shel ulam. God says to us, you open for me an opening the size of the eye of a needle, and I in turn will open for you an opening the size of a wedding hall, a banquet hall. Pischuli Pesach kechuda shel machat, open me an opening. You just open as big as a little, the eye of a needle. And I will open up an opening that's as big as a huge banquet hall. Now, when we learn that line from Chazal without Chassidus, on a simple level, so what does it seem to be saying? That God is like, you know, he's being nice to us. It's like he's saying, you know what, just do a little, just do something. Just do something. And I'll already give the rest. It's sort of like, remember when your parents said to you, if you clean your room for a month straight, I'll take you to Disney World. Right, remember, clean your room for a month straight, I'll take you to Disney World. Now, cleaning your room for a month straight, certainly, even in the worst of times of recession, I don't think that that would ever earn enough money to be able to get into Disney World, even, you know, for one ticket for one day. So it doesn't really mean, obviously, the trip to Disney World, especially if you live in New York and you need to get the plane tickets also, there's no when you clean your room, it's not that there's intrinsically that the cleaning of the room earns Disney World. It's not that the cleaning of the room is intrinsically important and worth as much as Disney World. No, your parents are nice to you. Your parents want to, like, you know, encourage you. So they say, you know, clean your room, I'll get to Disney World. So it seems like that's what God is saying also. You just open up like the eye of a needle. I'll already make it the size of a banquet. Says the Rebbe Marash, that's not what that means. It's much deeper than that. No, that's not the case. Chassidus says, this world is a microcosm of all of Seder Hishtalshus, of all the highest worlds. When we say that this world is the lowest world in Seder Hishtalshus, the smallest, quantitatively, qualitatively, physically, spiritually, in all ways, it means that whatever happens in this world on a small scale has atomic explosion reactions in the upper worlds. Every speech, every thought that you have in this world, billions of worlds that are infinitely greater than this world are affected by every thought and speech that you have. Because this world is a microcosm of the upper worlds. And the Rebbe Marash quotes from his great-grandfather, from the Alter Rebbe, that the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, in the last chapter of Igeres HaTshuva, explains this idea. Chapter 12, the last chapter of Igeres HaTshuva in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is talking about how a person should be samer b'yisur. Alter Rebbe gives a piece of advice that I hope and I bless that no one in this room should ever have to use. The Alter Rebbe gives a piece of advice how to enjoy, how to be happy, how to happily receive suffering. Nobody of us should ever have to use that advice. But you should know, by the way, when we speak about suffering, it doesn't mean, God forbid, tragedy. It means, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night, you know, nature calls in the middle of the night and you stump your toe. Right? Or you get a paper cut. That's also suffering. That's also something that the Alter Rebbe is referring to. It doesn't have to be extreme. So Alter Rebbe says, so how could you receive b'makabel yisurin ba'ava? How could you receive suffering happily with so Alter Rebbe says like this. You know that it says, and I hate to speak about depressing things. Chassidim don't like to speak too much about Gehenim. But you know that it says, Chazal bring, that one moment in Gehenim, one moment in hell, is worse than 70 years of the suffering of Job. Everyone knows the story of Job, Eve, the terrible suffering that he went through. He lost all his kids and his money and physically suffering. Chazal say that one moment in Gehenna is incomparably worse than 70 years of the suffering of Job. However, if a person suffers in this world, that atones for you, even a paper cut, that atones for you more than weeks and weeks in Gehenna. How come? So the Alter Rebbe says, because this world is a microcosm, and therefore anything that happens in this world has nuclear reactions in the upper worlds. And the Alter Rebbe gives a physical example where we're able to see this mamash empirically. The Alter Rebbe says, look at a tree's shadow. When you look at the shadow of a tree, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the shadow is over here. If you look at the shadow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, how much did the shadow move? Say a couple of inches. Says the Alter Rebbe, you know how much the sun had to travel for the shadow to move a couple of inches over here? For the shadow to move a couple of inches down here, the sun had to travel tens of thousands of parsois. Thousands and thousands of miles the sun had to move for the shadow over here just to move a couple of inches. And that means, therefore, that everything that happens in this world has an effect, a ripple effect, a nuclear effect in the upper worlds. So says the Rebbe Marash, when Hashem is saying that if you open what in your eyes, what Taki is an opening is the size of the eye of the needle, and God responds, I will thereby open up an opening the size of a banquet hall, it's not being cutesy. Hashem is saying that that's what happens. That's the natural intrinsic outcome of every act that we do in this world. And the Rebbe Marash adds, we see this idea in the Medrash. The Medrash says B'zois yovei Aaron al HaKodesh. The Medrash that speaks about the Kohen Gadol, the high priest entering the Holy of Holies and Yom Kippur. Says the Medrash, B'ezes chus nichnas Aaron l'Kodesh HaKadoshim. With which merit did Aaron go into the Kodesh Kadoshim? So Chazal say, B'zchus mila. B'zchus mila. Says the Rebbe Marash, let's think for a second. Going to the Kodesh Kadoshim is the revelation of Mamash, the infinite light of Hashem. What's mila? Mila's a little act. Cutting a piece of skin. And more than that, L'chayr, what's the meaning of mila? Mila is taking away the boundary, going above from tumah, from impurity, to kedusha, to holiness. Mila is taking off the oil of the foreskin. The foreskin represents the barrier that's between, so to speak, the boundary between impurity, tumah, and a low level of holiness. And what's the Medrash saying? If you just surmount the eye of a needle, you just go above the impurity, a little, that draws down Kodesh HaKadoshim, like we learned, HaShomayma, higher than Kesa or in Sof Mamash. That means that what that Mila, the act of Mila, the act itself is seemingly the eye of a needle. It's just going a little beyond your impurity. The effect is HaShomayma. So we asked in the beginning, L'char, how do we bring down these revelations of Mila? The answer is because, you're right, the revelations of Mila are Mila Alanu HaShomayma. But the act that we're requested to do is seemingly the eye of a needle. What's that? Surmount a little. Pick yourself up, go beyond the orla, take off the foreskin. In the words of the Rebbe, our Rebbe, the Rebbe says in a mimer, he brings this idea of the Rebbe Rashi, and he says like this. As a yid stelt sich weg hecher von sein Grobkeit. A yid stelt sich weg hecher von sein Grobkeit. A Jew is able to pick himself up above his coarseness, his impurity, just a little, pick your head up out of the mud. That is Mila. That draws down all the infinite levels of God's light of Mila. That's the eye of the needle. We just have to go, take off the foreskin. It would, in your eyes, conquer the Yetzirah. For one day, once conquered, go above. Pick yourself up a little. I'll tell you a story. Actually, I heard this time, this sukkah is Chol HaMoed. Zalman Goppen was for brand new. He said this story, I'd never heard it before. One year, everyone knows that after the Mizritra Maggid passed away, so who took over for him right away? Remendel of Vitebsk, Remendel Haradoka, Remendel of Vitebsk. And he was the head of the Hasidic movement for a couple of years until he decided, along with some of his students, to move to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Tveria, he's buried in Tveria. So, but for a couple of years, a while after the Maggid passed away, the Alter Rebbe was a Hasid of Remendel of Vitebsk. Story that happened one year, that there was Simchas Torah by night, and everyone was waiting for Mendel Vitebsker to come out for our kofis. There were, you know, hundreds of people there waiting. He wasn't coming out. It was 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. So they went into Mendel Haradoker, and he said, I'm not coming out. So Mendel Haradoker said like this, I heard from my Rebbe, from the Maggid, 100 different explanations on the pasuk Ata Reis Ladas Ki Avayu Likim Einan Mavadeg, which is the first pasuk we say at the beginning of our kofis, I heard from my Rebbe 100 different perushim and Ata Reis Ladas. And Remendel Haradoker says, I don't remember all of them. Until I'm able to remember all of them and experience them, whatever that means, I'm not coming out. Until I remember all 100 of them and live them, I'm not coming out. He said, God knows how long is that going to take. So they went to the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe was the Ari Sheva Chabur, the greatest of the Talmidim. They said, go in and bring out Shlep out your Rebbe. So the Alter Rebbe said, we have to make a Din Torah. Let's make a Din Torah. Put together a little bezdin and a court. And the court ruled that Mendel Haradoker has to come out. He has to come out for our kofis. So Mendel Vitebsk said to the Alter Rebbe, I can't. I don't remember the 100 Pirushim that my Rebbe, that the Maggid, that the Rebbe taught me. So the Alter Rebbe said to Mendel Haradoker, I'm going to give you an answer in Oisius of Haskalah and I'm going to give you an answer in Isis of Avoida. I'm going to give you two answers, a Skoladik answer and an Avoidadik answer. Very quickly, we don't have time to get into it, but in Chabad, the difference between Haskala and Avoida, Haskala means conceptualizing godliness, understanding ideas about God. Avoida means drawing them down into your life, making them applicable to you. So he says, I'm going to give you an answer, a Skoladik answer and a Avoidadik answer. He says, first an Isis of Haskala. Altar said to him, even if you remember and you get to all 100 Perushim, you'll then realize that since the Torah is one with God and is therefore as infinite as God is, you've just scratched the surface and there are still hundreds of other explanations of Atarei Soledas. So you'll never get to the end. That's an Haskala. And then the Altar said, and now an Avoida, an answer, an Avoidadik answer. The Alter Rebbe says, I'm going to tell you a mashal. The Alter Rebbe said, in the middle of the duck of the following story. One time there was a couple that lived, their cottage was at the foot of a big mountain. This couple lived at the foot of a big mountain. Now this mountain, this place was in a rainy place. And so the mountain, the rain would come down the mountain. What would always fall down the mountain? Mud. Because it was a big mountain, there was a lot of rain. So mud would continuously fall down the mountain. And so the mud would come and pile up in their house until the house would be full of mud and everything was full of mud. It became very muddy. So they decided that they can't continue living here. It's too muddy. They decided, you know what? If we move to the top of the mountain, so there's no mud because everything will fall down. So they decided they're going to pack up their cottage and move up to the top of the mountain. So they started packing and they began climbing. After a couple of weeks, the man turns around and looks down. After a couple of weeks, the man stops and he looks up. And his wife, look how far we still have from the top of the mountain. Look how far we still have to go. We didn't even do, a tenth. So the wife says to him, Bisgerecht, we're still very far from the top. You're right, we're still very far from the top. Aber von Blotte seinem Schöner Reis. But from the mud, we've already gotten out. He says, you're right. We're still, she said to him, we're still very far from the top. But at least we've already gotten out of the mud. That's what he said. So Alter was saying to Mendel HaRadoker, you might not have gotten to the top, but you're already not in the mud. So what does that mean to us? We know, like we said, we're 4 or 5 years old. Say, we're not even anywhere near 99 like Avraham Avinu. But the message of Bris Mila, says the Rebbe Marash, if you do kepischi shamachat, you just get out of the mud. You just go traverse that boundary between impurity and the slightest level of holiness. You pick your head up out of the mud, you might not have reached the top, but you've already done Mila. You're already out of the mud. And that draws down the highest levels. So now, the question becomes, so how do we get out of the mud? Fine. If we're able to take out that foreskin, we're able to be on to get that boundary, at least just to pick our heads out of the mud, that's Mila, it'll draw down HaShemayim at the highest levels. But how do I get out of the mud? So just like we said before from the Rebbe Marash, Mila draws down the highest levels, but the act itself, the act of Mila, the Mila is taking off the foreskin, but then there's the act itself, which seems to be a simple act. So therefore, the Chassidus says that if you understand what the inyan of Mila is, it seems to be a simple thing, but it mamash will get us out of the mud. What's that? So on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Chapter 45 of Tehillim. It says in Tehillim as follows: Ki alecha hayragnu kol hayoim nechshavnu kitzayin tivcha. For we were killed for you, O God, all day. We die for you, God, all day. We're accounted like sheep to the slaughter. Ki alecha hayragnu kol hayoim. We were killed for you, God, all day. We're counted like sheep to the slaughter. Now, the simple explanation is a very depressing one. But simply, what's the pasuk saying? That Jews are killed all the time. All day there are Jews dying, being killed. Sheep to the slaughter. But Chazal say, not mamish, kol hayoyim, alecha hayragnu, kol hayoyim, all day mamish, the Jews being killed. So Chazal say, alecha hayragnu kol hayoyim, zu mila. We die for you, God, all day, that's mila. Mila means dying for God. Mila means going out of your humanity. We said before, Moses was saying that Torah mitzvahs are within the capability of your humanity. Hashemaima is beyond the capability of what you're humanly possible. True. So in order to draw down Hashemaima to do mila, ki alecha hayragnu kol hayoyim, mesiras nefesh, you have to die for Hashem. What does that mean, to die for God? It means literally. So I want to read to you a line that I saw from a Tzadok HaKohen. Tzadok HaKohen from Lublin in Rsisei Laila. I'm going to read to you the following line. Listen carefully. It says like this, in the new print, it's page 199. Hamila hi chosem habris shi Yehudi kairisem Hashem izbar. Mila is the sign, the physical sign that a Jew cuts a covenant with God. Liyos nemon lelekov, faithful to his God. B'mesiras kol keiches gufei v'nafshei eilav l'gamer, with the giving over of all the powers of his soul and body completely. Mileida mibetan, from birth, straight from his mother's stomach. Shelamayla ma'adas v'avana v'karsa seichel, above intellect and understanding of the mind. Rak b'tivay v'toldasa yukein, by nature, that's the way he is. What does that mean? What's the tzaddik saying over here? It's a covenant of Mesiras Nefesh. We've mentioned many times that words Mesiras Nefesh doesn't literally mean to die for God. What does the word Mesira mean in Hebrew? Limsar, to give over. Mesiras Nefesh means to give yourself over to God. Dying is the ultimate expression of that, physically dying. But Kealecha Yiragnu Kol Hayoyim, going out of your humanity, means Mesiras Nefesh, means giving over all of what you are to God. And now I wanna say something very important. It's very important when we speak about Chassidus specifically, when we learn Chassidus, to be blunt. That's really what Verbrengen's are for. Because we're not threatened by mystical words. Mystical words don't threaten us. That's why nobody has a problem with mysticism. People don't like halacha, right? You have people that are like, you know, people have, I've sat with groups of college students, boys and girls, teenagers that are all wearing shorts and tank tops, and they have no problems with mysticism, and they have no problems of even saying like very holy words like becoming one with the one. Dissolving out of your existence, becoming included in the infinite light of God, becoming a chariot for the will of God. They have no problem saying those words. We have no problem with those words because they don't threaten us. You know why? Because we know they're not us. It's very easy to fool ourselves and speak about these very lofty words, right? Becoming one with the one, dissolving your, nullifying your existence, becoming one with the infinite light of Hashem. I have no problem with that. It doesn't bother me eating my tuna fish sandwich or going to Blockbuster afterwards. Because they're very holy words, very lofty words, which I know that I have no shaykhs to. So it's very important when you learn chassidus to get this blunt. That's what Verbrengen's really were, by the way. L'mais, what does it mean to us? That's what, by the way, there was a chassid, Reb Zalman Moshe Yitzchaki. He was one of the big chassidim of the previous generation, would daven every day for 6 hours shachris. Then when he would sit down in Verbreng, I'm going to say this nicely, he would curse in Yiddish a lot. He spoke very, very grub. Very, very grub. His mom was cursed away in Yiddish all the time. I'm not going to get into specifics, but those of you that are hanging around with Chabanim enough, you figure out, I mean, you know, telling people certain parts of the anatomy to kiss, etc. That was from the nicer things, etc. So Mendel Furtefas once went to Zalman Moshe, and he said to him, tell me, And Rav Zalman used to bring in Tel Aviv, and there would come all sorts of other Jews, and they would be very turned off. They run away. Someone speak like, they didn't see him davening for 6 hours before. So Mendel Furtifas said that he once asked him, Rav Zalman Moshe, what do you have to speak like that? So Rav Zalman Moshe says, Ich darf reden a sprach as a nefesh of Baham is all verstehen. I have to speak in a way that my animal soul should understand. If I speak too politely, then my animal soul doesn't hear. I have to speak to myself. That, and the Alter Rebbe says this also in chapter 29, by the way. If you look in Tanya, chapter 29. The Alter Rebbe says that. You have to speak to your nefesh b'hamas in a way that it should understand. And if you start being all polite, and you know, all you know, British and stuff, so your animal soul is not going to understand. Start speaking like the Boy Scouts, your animal soul is not going to understand. So it's very important about this inyan. I found a maimon where the Rebbe says, a line where the Rebbe mamish, we speak on Mesiras Nefesh, that Mila Chazal say, dying for God is Mila. And Reb Tzadik says that you give yourself over to Hashem. So the Rebbe says, I found a maimon, Pada B'Shalom Nafshin, look at Beis, where the Rebbe gives a line where he says, very, very blunt, what exactly does Mila mean? And he says like this, Rebbe says, you know what Mesiras Nefesh is? As a Yid wird ois balabos of zich. A Jew feels that he's not his own boss. That's it. That a Jew comes to a feeling that you are not the boss of yourself. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's getting out of the mud. That means that you come to a feeling. You know, by us, what's the most precious things in our lives, especially in today's day and age, and in America, but to the whole world, 20th, 21st century, independence. Everyone likes independence. From the time that you're a young teenager, you're already striving for independence. Everyone likes independence. Nobody likes being told what to do. Everyone likes being their own boss. Mesiras Nefesh means to feel that you have a boss. You're not your own boss. God is your boss. And if you think it sounds simple, but it's very profound. That means that you come to a feeling that you know you don't decide what happens in your life based on what you want. Just like if you're working for a boss, begashmis, you have a physical boss, and you want to go in the middle of the day, you want to go someplace, you have to ask his permission. Mesiras Nefesh, giving yourself over to God, means that you accept upon yourself, this is what it means to make a bris milah, and of course there are many levels in it, but you accept upon yourself that you will never make a decision in life if it's not based on what your boss allows, what God wants. And you understand that that's why Kabbalah teaches knows tchilasan b'soifan, the end and the beginning connect. That's how the end of the parsha of Lech Lecha relates to the beginning of parsha's Lech Lecha. There's a very famous teaching from the previous Rebbe, based on the other sources before, when God said to Avram, Lech lecha me'artzcha me'molatcha me'beis avicha, go from your land, from your father's house, from the place that you were born. So the previous Rebbe says, artzcha comes from the word rotzen, which means your will. Me'ladetcha, the place of your birth, is your emotions. In chapter 3 of Tanya, emotions are born. Mebeis avicha, your father's home, that's your intellect. Chachma Bina called father and mother. So the beginning of the parsha, which connects to the end of the parsha, is that you know what Hashem is saying to Avram? Go out of your humanity. Stop basing your religion on the way that you feel, the way you understand, and what you want. Very often we base our Yiddishkeit, our connection to God, is something very subjective. I understand it this way. I'm willing to be religious as long as it's comfortable, as long as it fits with my personality, my humanity. So God says to Avram, and Avram at that time was already 75 years old. God says to him, and Avram, since the age of 3, was serving God. B'mesiras nefesh l'chayr, for 72 years he was serving God. So God says to Avram, until now, you've been connecting to me based on your intellect, your emotions, your will. Now it's the will, intellect, and emotions of Avram Avinu. Hashem says to them, no, bris milah means going out of that. Ois balabos of zich. You're not your own boss. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. Religion should not be based on moods. Truly religious and moods are opposites. Being truly religious, connected to Hashem, and moods are opposites. There's a story, this famous story, the Sfasemes. Sfasemes, the second Gerib. Sfasemes was one time sitting by a tish Friday night. And he went into a state of Dveikus, and all of a sudden he opened his eyes, and the Sfasemes said, anyone that wants any prayer to be answered, Zoller does beten mit ana Hashem. If you ever want a prayer, you might just want it to be answered, ask for it, pray for it, with ana Hashem. So the other people there, one of the tish, asked the chassidim, asked the Rebbe, Rebbe, you mean ana Hashem hashiyana, or ana Hashem atzlichana? So Sfasemes says, neither of those. I mean, the pasuk that we say, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha ben amasecha. Ana Hashem, please God, because I'm, what does it mean, avdecha ben amasecha? Your slave, the son of your maidservant. So Sfasemes says, what does that mean? And I'm not just saying I'm an Eved. I'm saying I'm Avdecha ben Amasecha. Not just that I'm a slave, but I'm the slave, the son of a maidservant. What does that mean? So Sfasemes explained, you have such thing as a person that's a slave, but wasn't always. He's a slave. He entered this position of being a slave, but it wasn't always like that. I know what it means also to be independent. I know what it means to be my own person, but I donate some of my hours to God. Sometimes I'm in my own person. Sometimes I do stuff for God also. Right? I do both things. I know how to be a slave, but I've tasted independence. I know what independence means. And I comfortably, travel between both situations. Says the Sfasemes, if you want that Hashem will always answer, the ultimate connection means, I'm the servant, the son of your maidservant. I was born into it. I don't know anything else. That means a bris mila means to give oneself to Hashem to the extent that one no longer feels that it, being religious is not an option. It's not a mood. It's not an intellectual decision. It's an essential bond. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's Ois Balabos of Zich. And this is much deeper than being one with the one and dissolving an Ein Sof, feeling that you don't have independence. That gets one out of the mud. That means that I connect myself to Hashem in a way that's not based on my humanity. I always give an example of this. The best example, I know in my life it was a big milestone. I give an example. When you know that you have a bris mila with Hashem, that you like the group. Tzaddik says, Karas brisli is neman lelekov, that you made a covenant to be faithful to Hashem. Imagine you were at a wedding. You're at a wedding. Not a wedding of your next door neighbor's third cousin, but a wedding of like your best friend. Well, your mamish for like 5 hours straight, danced up a storm, it's the middle of the summer. You sweat like a dover acher, pumps all schwitzed up. You know how it is, all your clothing are like dripping. And your whole body is aching, your back and your knees and everything is aching. And you trudge into your house. You're barely able to get into the shower. You're like having daydreams already about the pillow and the blanket. You could like smell already your blanket. And you're in the shower, barely able to get the soap and the shampoo on. Right? And then finally you trudge out of the shower. And you get in your pajamas. You're so excited, you dive. You get in the diving board. And you like dive into your bed. And pull up the covers and have a nice smirk on your mouth and slowly close your eyes, and all of a sudden you remember that you didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. Now you know without the slightest doubt, you know for sure that even if you manage to get out of bed, your mind and heart are staying here. Your mind and heart are staying under the covers and heart are sleeping already. You know that all you'll be able to get out of bed is your physical body. Maybe you'll be able to give God a little your lips. Your lips, moving your lips is almost like schlepping like suitcases, right? And you know that this is, you're like, well, should I daven? I'm not going to be able to have any kavana. This isn't going to be a fun experience, this Ma'ariv. I'm not going to feel anything. The opposite. I'm going to be like, you know, being mizbeinin on my bed the whole time. But even so, you did a bris. You're not your own boss. You're a servant. You're like a sheep to the slaughter. It's not up to you. Your mind doesn't mean anything. It's not based on your intellect and emotions. You are God's servant. There's no independence. Ois balabas of zich. That's what it means to be a bris mila. Or for instance, you go with your family on vacation. You go to a vacation to a beautiful area in Vermont. And it works out that you have to be there over Shabbos. So the rest of your family, you know, Shabbos morning, they get their, you know, backpack all set with the canteens, they're ready to go hiking. And they say to you, you should know, today is the most beautiful national park, it's only open on Saturday. And you have all sorts of explanations, you know, someone in your family gives you all sorts of, you know, explanations and explains to you, you should know, the sights that you're going to see on this hike are going to mamash make you feel God. What are you going to do? You sit in your hotel room and stare at the four walls. If you come on this hike, Shabbos morning, you're going to come on this hike, you're going to mamash see God in ways that you've never seen Him before. You might have to be Mechal Shabbos, but so what? But you'll be able to experience the grandeur of God. And you know, Ani Avdecha Ben HaMasecha, Bris Mila. I'm not my own boss. Shulchan Aruch says, in Shabbos you're not allowed to do it, you don't do it. I stare at the four walls the whole Shabbos, I look at the little hotel, you know, shampoos and soaps the whole Shabbos, I don't care. This is what Shulchan Aruch says, this is what I do. That's the meaning of a bris mila. And you understand, that's what the Rebbe says, that's why bris mila came before the giving of the Torah. God, it was the first thing God gave to Abraham. The deepest thing, what's called in Chassidus, is the iskashrus atzmus, the essential connection of a Jew with God, is bris mila. That I essentially feel I am one with Hashem. I gave myself over to God. That's getting out of the mud, and that draws down the highest levels. It's an essential connection to God that's deeper than anything I do in Torah mitzvahs. And we all know the Rebbe says, Tavshinun Beis, the last year, Laisata, till Mashiach comes, the last year the Rebbe spoke before he passed away, before he got sick, Tavshinun Beis, the Rebbe said, as we began, Vayeri Elav Hashem, that God revealed Himself to Avram through the merit of the mitzvah of Mila. And since the meaning of Mila is something that we intrinsically have within us, the capability, therefore we, every one of us, has the ability to demand, like the Rebbe Rashab, that we want to see God. We want to see the very essence of God. And especially now where the Rebbe says that the revelation of Mashiach is already found in the world. We just have to be able to see it. It's there already. We just have to open our eyes to see it, receive it. So how much more so that we take upon ourselves to live in such a way. No matter if I feel I'm a 99 or 4 or 5, start again. Give myself over to Hashem. When I say Shema, to mamash feel that I belong to God. I'm not my own boss. I don't make decisions based on moods and intellect and feelings. And that merit will be zeichah to see with our physical eyes Hashem's essence with the Kamashit Sidkeinu B'Karav Mamash.